Let me share with you, actually, it's kind of more than an announcement. It's kind of more like the life of our church. I know inevitably Christmas Eve, there's a lot of you visiting and maybe visiting some family or being out of town. You don't regularly come here, and we're just so glad you're here. And if you don't mind giving me just a couple of minutes, this is such an important season for our church, not just because tomorrow's Christmas, but we've been removed from our original location on Middle Street almost 2 years out of our offices, and in a couple more months it would have been 2 full years here as we were building a building on Middle Street. And I just wanted to give you an important update. I know the next couple weeks there's lots going on, and wanted to make sure to give you an update because we know a few things. First of all, this is really an answer to prayer. I think it's important we don't just gloss over things sometimes and think, oh, that was really great, but we were praying for this. But last week, if you noticed, the temperatures rose into the 50s, and immediately our contractor ordered the asphalt to be done because that was a big question mark with weather, and all of that got completed, which was really the last remaining concern with weather related. So praise God for that. I mean, that was excellent. Sidewalks and concrete, they're done with most of that. They still have a little bit more to do, but that is not as much weather related. And so our contractor was in a great mood last Thursday as the asphalt was done, because they can somewhat be in control from this point forward. Of course, you never know. You got to get it inspected. You got to get occupancy. But because of that, we're going to move forward a little bit more in our plans to moving in our building. And so let me just give you, I'm calling this just moving into our building and a new year, because it's super important that we don't just move over 1 week, but this is a spiritual journey that God has taken us on. We said 2 years ago, this whole journey has been called Extend, of God wanting to extend us and to grow us and to stretch us, and He has done that. My first series here in the middle school was called Unbalanced, and it's because there's a lot of things that were catching us off guard, but those are the times that we grow in faith. And so, first of all, I'll give you the date. You all want to know, we moved it by 1 week, and I'll tell you why. It's because of us. But we're now aiming for our first Sunday in the new building to be February 11th, Sunday, February 11th, okay? So let me back up of how we got to that date. That's not really controlled by our contractors, but more of kind of by what we feel God telling us as a staff that we are to do in preparation for moving back. And so January 14th, that's just in a couple Sundays, 3 Sundays from now, we're going to start a 21-day focus of prayer that I will talk with you much more about even starting next Sunday and then January 7th as we lead into that. But I want to challenge you as a church and give you a few more verses in the weeks to come of just that God wants to prepare us as we move back into our building, that it's not about a building. We've said that from the very beginning. Yes, it's important. You got to focus on it. We had to pay for it. But that it's just a symbol, really, of what God is doing and building and growing inside of us and what He's constructing inside of us. And I think it's important that we take a focus. I am probably just like you, maybe I'm worse than you, but it's so easy to get going in life and just move and move and move and not slow down enough to really hear and to see what God is doing and saying. And so through this process, I want Him to show Himself to you and reveal things to you and for you personally as well as for our church. And so January 14th, we'll kick this off, and we'll be challenging you in different ways. You can decide how you want to do that, not only with praying, but also fasting and just abstaining from certain things for 21 days. And as God leads you into that, just to say, God, I really want to take my focus off of everything else and onto you. And then January 22nd, just kind of tentatively, I wanted you to kind of know this. We're hoping that that week, either that Monday or sometime that week, that our office actually will move back to Middle Street. The building, we hope, will be open by that time, even though we're not moving right back in, but we're hoping to be able to start occupying it for office space. We'll see. We'll let you know about that. But February 3rd is a Saturday, and we're going to hope to have an open house that day. It is for you, but it's also for our community. We have a lot of people that have talked to us and said they see the building, they want to see what it looks like, and that's a fantastic thing that people want to see the inside of a church building. A lot of people want to never see the inside of a church building, and so we want to open it up to our community. In fact, the Chamber of Commerce is going to do an event there later this spring and open it up to all the businesses, which is going to be great, and we'll get just a chance to welcome people into our building. But that Saturday, we'll be asking for some of you to help us as we just host people that come into our building, but also give you a chance to kind of go through it and see it and kind of get done with all that looky-loo stuff, which will be good, because then we'll start moving into really gearing up for what God's going to be doing. And so February 4th, the next day, Sunday, that'll be our final service here at the middle school, and we're going to do one service at 10:30. one final service here. We'll even bring most of the kids and youth in. And as we started our journey here, we had all the kids and everyone together, and we'll come back and do that again as we complete this on February 4th. And then I'm hoping for one of those rare warm winter days in Pennsylvania, because what I want to do is do a celebration march, yes, from here to Middle Street. Yes, you heard me. And I want to give it a try. All you naysayers, come on now. I will buy cracked rock things to make your hands warm, okay? We're looking at trying to get some buses to bring you all back here, or you real whiners can ride the bus over there. But we just thought it would be pretty exciting if we could leave here all together as a church body and literally walk across town. And I've seen this in my mind for a couple of years, even as we walk by a lot of churches between here and our church, and just praying over them and blessing them and the businesses, and just that, not that we're doing this, I have no intention to gain any kind of press from it, but just that our church would walk through town and say, you know, we love this town, we wanted to stay in this town, and we're marching back together and believing for what God's going to do, and praying and blessing our neighbors as we go. So I'm hoping for a warm day, or maybe you're hoping for snow that day, because that'd even make it more fun, pull people in sleds. All right, and then the fifth thing, and this is kind of what's actually gearing up for our date. February 7th is a Wednesday, and this will be our first official service. I didn't want our first service to be a Sunday morning. I wanted it to be something that would be of a dedication of the building, like you see oftentimes in Scripture. And so February 7th is a Wednesday night, and we're going to have a worship and prayer service in that building and christen that building, if you will, with worship and prayer, I think, as it should be, that Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I expect that to be, as always, but especially a powerful time that evening where God will meet us. And in fact, also why we're doing that is something that's been on my heart since I took my sabbatical this summer. Felt like the Lord wanted us to do as we got a building again and had a place to meet beyond Sunday mornings, is that the first Wednesday of every month, first Wednesday we'll call it, of every month, we're going to have a worship and a prayer time in the building, just as another place for you to come and to enjoy the great worship that Pastor Nate and his team does, and just more time to gather together. Our groups and stuff will always continue, but we'll just take that first Wednesday of each month and gather together. I think it'll be incredible and powerful. And then February 11th will be our first Sunday in the building. Of course, all of this, you know, still is subject to some change if something happens in the building that we don't know, but you have to start planning ahead. And so that's our plan for now, and we will let you know if anything changes as soon as we know. And then we will have an actual official dedication service, dedication Sunday, on Sunday, March 4th. Pastor Tammy Donahue's the vice president of our denomination, Foursquare, and she'll be with us, as well as our supervisor. My boss, his name is Peter Bonanno. He lives in Frederick. He'll be here as well. And so it'll just be a great time, even with some of our leadership and our own denomination. So thank you for letting me give you a little bit of that. We wanted to let you know. It's really exciting to think that this is just around the corner. Thank you for all of you who have signed up to help us. We haven't called all of you yet because not everything has been ready for us to do, but many of you have helped us, and literally you have already, literally, not exaggerating, you've saved us thousands of dollars already, and you will continue to save us tens of thousands with your volunteer time. If you are someone or know someone, the one thing I did not put on my list out there that I'm looking for is someone to do simple, basic, not anything super complicated, but need to know how to do some plumbing work. There's some things you could help us with that would save us. And so there's signups in the back at the serve tent. Let me know, as well as all the other signups back there. But you're helping us move in, and it's fun to be able to do it together. All right. So let me jump into our message this morning. And I know it's Christmas Eve, and you've got plans today and things going on, and it's just good to see you. And I hope that you're able to come back and join us this evening and watch our kids. So I don't want to take up too much of your time today, but I want to finish up the series that we've been doing called The Spirit of Christmas. If you haven't been with us, I've been trying to kind of challenge the way that we think about this. In our culture, you hear people talk about all the time the spirit of Christmas, and you think that means like giving or being merry or being jolly. It's the spirit of Christmas, and I'm not opposed to that, but it kind of glosses over and misses what has been missing, I think, in Christmas for a long time, even though it's in Scripture clearly, and that is actually the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christmas, who actually made Christmas happen. And somehow he's been lost, this part of God that we believe in and understand, one God, but this Trinity God, God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've kind of lost this aspect of how involved the Holy Spirit was. And He's been involved from the very beginning of this world in creating this world, and he was part of making Christmas happen and creating Christmas. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, maybe we just, we get to a place, maybe we become sophisticated, we don't think we've got it all figured out, or the things that we don't know, we just kind of gloss over. But man, the Holy Spirit, he is active and alive in the Christmas story, and he wants to be active and alive in ours. I want to read you just a quick story, or maybe just, it's called A Physicist View of Santa Claus, all right? So spoiler alert for some of you. I think our kids are all in the kids department, right? All right, so consider the following. There are no known species of reindeer that can fly, but there are 300,000 species of living organisms yet to be classified, and while most of them are insects and germs, it doesn't completely rule out flying reindeer, which only Santa has apparently seen. So there are 2 billion children, just thinking about the possibilities of this, there are 2 billion children, persons under 18, in the world. This was written probably about 10 years ago, and so it's probably up higher than that now. But since Santa doesn't appear, anyway, to handle the Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, Buddhist children in the world, that reduces his workload to just 15% of the total, about 380 million children, according to the Population Reference Bureau. At an average census rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes, presuming that there's at least one good child in each, which is a big presumption. Okay. Santa has 31 hours to work with, thanks to different time zones and the rotation of the earth, assuming he travels east to west, which obviously seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. That is to say, for each Christian household with good children, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of his sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. Assuming that each of these 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed around the earth, which of course we know to be false, but for purposes of calculation we will accept. We are now talking about 0.78 miles per household, a total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops, to do what most of us need to do at least once every 31 hours, plus feeding, etc. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 651 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. For purposes of comparison, the fastest man-made vehicle on Earth, the Ulysses space probe, moves at a pokey 27.4 miles per second. A conventional reindeer runs tops 15 miles an hour. The payload on the sleigh adds another interesting element, assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, 2 pounds. Yeah, right. The sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons, not counting Santa, who is invariably described as overweight. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds, even granting that flying reindeer, see point number one, could pull 10 times the normal amount. We cannot do the job with 8 or even 9. We would need 214,200 reindeer. This increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. Again, for comparison, this is 4 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth. That poor lady, she gets a lot of jokes about her weight. All right, number 5, 353,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. This will heat the reindeer up in the same fashion as spacecraft re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. In short, they will burst into flame almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and create deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,500 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ridiculously slim, would be pinned to the back of a sleigh by 4,315,000 pounds of force. In conclusion, if Santa ever did deliver presents on Christmas Eve, he's dead now. Just for all of you science people and engineers. All right. Let me read to you Luke 1. We've been waiting to look at actually Mary and her part in the story. We've looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth. We've looked at Simeon, and we're gonna look at Mary. And I want to read to you out of verse Luke 1:26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?'" So I'm going to just look really simply at Mary's question and then her answer to the angel here this morning. She asked the question, pretty normal, simple question, how can it be? It's almost as if, you know, I read that story about Santa Claus, we laugh and we joke because, you know, we know things now, we're adults. But it's because we oftentimes think we've got things figured out, we've become more sophisticated than that, we're smarter than that, and yet we can't escape this question that sometimes even derails us. I don't understand how can it be? And she says, you know, how can I have a child how can a child, Jesus or anyone, be born in me? I have not been married yet. I've never been with a man. That's not possible. I'm a virgin. And how can this be? And I think that question can derail and sidetrack many of us when we begin to think and wonder about God and who he is and what he can do in our life. And we can simply kind of just shrug it off as, how can that be? I don't get it. I don't. And we kind of just through a question of something that we really don't want to necessarily explore, or we think we figured it out. How can that be? Or on the other side, maybe like Mary, we have a real specific reason. How can it be? How could Jesus be born to me? I'm a virgin. And when you hear someone talk about God and him being a part of your life and wanting to be a part of your life, you may not be a virgin. Obviously, it probably wouldn't be the case for any of us, but we fill in something else in the blank. Yeah, but how could do that? You know, I've done this or I've done that. I've been a part of this. And we all have our little line. How could that be? Or God comes in, or we hear a pastor or someone talk about the promise of what God can do and the promise of Christmas. And we've been talking about that for weeks, that of what God wants to do. How I like how some of these songs we sang today talk about how God came into this world, and there's still times in this world that it's dark and it's cold, and we feel disconnected and we feel far from God. And you hear someone talk about you don't have to be, and God can be close, and he can be part of your life, and you can know him. And I think many of us get to the point and we just ask the question just like Mary, I don't know, how can it be? How can that really be? You don't even understand, or I don't get this. And we can just easily kind of explain things away. And the amazing thing of this story, and the amazing part that Mary plays in it, is she asks the question, just like any of us really ask when we're confronted with such things that are so amazing and so mysterious and so huge as God. But she journeys into it and opens herself up to it. I want to read to you. You don't need to go there. It's not on the screen, but I was just thinking about a story out of Daniel when I was thinking about Mary's response here. And if you know the story, you'll recognize it right away. If you don't, I think you'll even find it interesting. But this true nation called Babylon, the Babylonians, they had conquered and taken over the Israelites, and their king, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. He has this dream. He believes in all sorts of gods and different things, but he has this dream that really disturbs him. And it disturbs him because it's different and he can't figure it out. And the reason is he's being spoken to by the God, not all these other gods. He's being spoken to by the God. He can't figure it out. And so let me just read this to you. It says, "In his second year, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. And then the king commanded the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, be summoned to tell the king his dream. And so they came in and they stood before the king. And the king said to them, 'I had this dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream.' And so they said to the king, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we'll show you the interpretation. I mean, this was their job. This is what, in a way, they got paid for. I mean, they were the enchanters, the astrologers. They're the spirit people. They're the ones who connect with the spirit world, and so they tell them, tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. The king said to them, no, the word for me is firm. If you don't make known to me the dream and its interpretation, the tough culture, you'll be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive gifts from me, rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know this with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream and you shall know, and I shall know that you can tell me its interpretation. So basically, Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm not going to tell you the dream. If you really think you know the gods and you communicate with them, then you tell me the dream, and then I'll believe when you give me the interpretation. So interesting that he doesn't even believe his own spiritual people and his own culture. Now, this is their response. This is what I want you to catch. The Chaldeans answered the king and said this, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great or powerful king has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. So interesting. So back then, thousands of years ago, which has really not changed and it's been a part of every culture, there was a definite belief in that there is more than just the physical matter in this world. There's a spiritual world. There are gods out there. But there was a few problems, though, that were part of this world. And number one is that there's a separation between us and the gods, and they recognize this. What you're asking is impossible because there is a separation between us and the gods. This, whatever God spoke this to you is not here. We are disconnected from him. That's the first problem. The second problem is we're separated from him, and he doesn't live here. We can't go and ask him. He doesn't dwell here. He's up there, and we're down here. And number three, he said there's not a man on earth that can help you because there's not a man that has that kind of relationship with the gods. It's so interesting because that's how most of us think, even maybe we wouldn't articulate it that way, but we think of God being out there and up there and far away. We don't hear him sometimes, or we don't see him working, or we wonder where he's at, and we fall back into these same patterns of believing, oh, how can it be? I mean, God is so far over there, and I'm over here. I'm way down here because of what I've done or who I am. You don't know what I've been about. Maybe God comes to other people special, but not me. And they have this view of God being so far away and so up there. And I just like, because of what's true about Jesus, I like how they even say it because they're so wrong. But he says, whose dwelling is not with flesh. They said the gods don't dwell with flesh. It's actually the word there. But here's the deal. John 1 tells us this, and this is really what the Christmas story is all about. But John 1 says, the word, which we know is to be Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory now, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And it goes on and on and on. Jesus says it over and over and over again in John. I have come down from heaven. I have come down from the Father. I mean, he says it probably a dozen times in the Gospel of John, reiterating to us that, yeah, there is a God that's distinct from us and different from us, but he is not a God who is far away and who is out there, but he is a God who is near, who came to live. In fact, our God actually does live among flesh because he loves us. The interesting word there in John is it says he made his dwelling among us. It's the word for like setting up a tent, for pitching a tent. not in the sense to emphasize that Jesus just came because of just in a temporary sense, even though he came and it says that he is in heaven and he is waiting to return. But it's not just that it was a temporary sense. It's the fact that this world is not his first home. His home is with God. But it was more than that. It was that he set up a tent because even though this isn't his first home, we are his people. And where he wants to be is with us and with you. And that is the story of Christmas. How can it be? You know, the Bible doesn't explain how a virgin became pregnant. Doesn't give us the details. Certainly God knows all that stuff. But what it does tell us is most important is not so much how, but why. Because God wanted to be with us. Because he wants to change this mindset and this heart and this thought that we oftentimes have that God is a long ways away. Listen, it's not true. God is here and he is near. And actually, God wants to take it one step further. Jesus didn't just come to earth to be God with us, to walk around. He dies and he resurrects and goes to heaven. But even more than that, he didn't just come to be with us, just kind of be near us. Ephesians 2 says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. That's true. But also, more than that now, and now in him, in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Oh my gosh, the Bible takes it one step further. Not only does the God come and live among us in our lives and wants to live and be a part of your life, but he wants to take it even one step further. He actually wants to make you, your life, your body, your heart, his home. That's his dwelling place. That's why it says he pitched a tent on earth to accomplish the cross and resurrection, because his permanent home would be by his Spirit in your life. That's for him to be with you and for you to be with him. That's where God, I love how Eugene Peterson says it in John 1 there in the Message version. He says, God moved into the neighborhood, but the neighborhood is your life. And I just simply want you to know this today. And so look at, Mary says, how can it be? I'm a virgin. She has, I mean, none of this makes sense. I don't understand how this is possible. Listen, you're probably just like her, just like I am. I don't get all of it. I don't understand everything there is to know about God, but God has made clear some of the whys of why he's done things. And so let's read on, verse 34. The angel then answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So Mary has this question, like all of us, how can it be? How is that even possible? How can God do that? I don't get it. That's, I mean, who am I? All the basic how questions. And the angel just reveals just one simple way. How it's possible is by the Holy Spirit. How all this is possible is by the Holy Spirit. He wants to come and to fill you and to come into your life. And then her response is what made Christmas. It's what makes everything change in your life and in mine. As she simply said, yeah, I don't get it, but may it be. May it be. Let it be in me as you have said. And Pastor Jack, in our time of devotions as a staff a couple weeks ago, even wrote a little bit about this, and I thought it was great. He said, you know, it reminds me of the Beatles song, right? When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. In fact, you know, not to say anything about the whole song, but boy, there's a real truth there to us that Mary has shown us the most wise thing that any of us can ever do. It's to not try to overcomplicate the things about God that none of us will ever comprehend. It's not a matter of even taking just a leap of faith to say that you don't understand it. Everyone has faith in something. But to see that it actually has the least amount of faith in the unknown, to say, I'm going to choose to believe in this God who came to live not just among me, but wants to live in me, and to have the response that Mary did in each of our lives and just says, let it be. So simply this, that the Holy Spirit is all these different things, and we've talked about it. I don't want to recap it all, but the Holy Spirit ultimately, just simple Christmas Eve message is this. He wants to be in control of your life. He wants to be in control of your life. That's the simple question. And Christmas, as like I said earlier in worship, is a call to participation in your life. That God actually comes just like he did to Mary and said, if you will open yourself up to me, I will fill you with my Spirit, and I will bring transformation and change. I'll do things in your life. I'll do those things that you think is impossible. I'll show you that you can live and to know me and to be close to me. You don't know how it all will work itself out. You just know it is done by the Holy Spirit. And what God is looking for from each of us is just a spirit, a willingness that says, you know what? Yeah, let it be. Mary was just this young girl who was thinking she'd get married and probably had a lot of plans that she was thinking about. Now she's pregnant. And that changed everything. I'm gonna give birth to Jesus. I mean, that's gonna change a lot of things I had planned. The Holy Spirit, I hate to tell you this, but he wants to mess up some of your plans. He wants to mess it up. And it's because Jesus said in John 3, right after all this was predicted about him coming and being born and wanting us to be born in him, he says, listen, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. In fact, that followed a question from another person who asked the question just like Mary. His name was Nicodemus. He said, what? How can someone be born again or born from above? How can that be? And Jesus says, oh, you can't understand all this. You can't figure it out, and you can't be changed on your own, because flesh just gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And so Jesus came, and he was born, and then he accomplished his mission. He left, and then he sends his spirit to say, now you have the opportunity to have the same thing done to you that Mary had done to her. That within your life, within your flesh, within your brokenness and your failures, your problems. In fact, this verse was on my heart, and then I'll read you one more, and I want to pray with you. But in John, just as I was walking up here, where it says here in the beginning of John, right before it says that the Word became flesh, I just read you a moment ago, it says this, that Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet, to all who've received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Listen, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. I think that is one of the most powerful lines in all the Bible, in my opinion. That Jesus came to say, you know what? Doesn't matter how you got here. Born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will. It doesn't matter. I love the thought of this, even that some of you maybe have been told all your life you were an accident, or your parents didn't want you, or that you were a mistake, or that, you know what, you have no hope to overcome your alcoholism or your addictions because it runs in the family. Or because, you know what, you'll be no better than your dad or your mom or the brokenness that's been in your family. And in walks Jesus and says, oh yeah, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And there is a chance, a bona fide chance, because God didn't stay out there, but he came to live among us and then to live in us, that we actually have a chance to be different, to be changed for a redo, and not to try harder or to try to do it better ourselves. That doesn't work. Flesh just gives birth to flesh. It's more effort. It's more trying. It's more you doing it. What the Christmas story is the story of Mary. You've done nothing. You've done nothing, but I've chosen you, and all I ask is, will you just humbly respond? Let it be. Let it be. So I want to close with this, because it wasn't just Mary, but it was also Joseph. Matthew 1 says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. This is Matthew's version of Luke. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Do not fear to take, the version I was reading last night, do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from his sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Would you stand to your feet and would you close your eyes with me? I want to pray for you, but first I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning. Then we're going to close with just the last part of the song together. The simple, simple thing to remember today as you go is, will you be someone who just gets past all the questions, the unknowns, the arguments, the things you think you've figured out, the why you think God can or can't do certain things? And could you become a person this morning that just says, let it be? Let it be. Yes, the hope of change and being different is real. Not because you can do it, but because Jesus said, Spirit will give birth to Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And He is hovering over you right now, just like He did over Mary 2,000 years ago, just like He did over the creation of the world thousands of years before, waiting to create, waiting to form new life. God has already given the Holy Spirit the command again to go and do it, but now the Holy Spirit waits for you to say, let it be. As God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now God gives the authority over to you, people, and says, if you say, let it be, the Holy Spirit comes, and he will begin to do the work in your life. But here's the thing. Are you willing? Are you willing to open up your life to Him? Two things I want you to think about, just to respond to. And even thinking just about Joseph. It says that Joseph, it doesn't even tell us how. It's so interesting. But it says that Mary was found to be pregnant. It alludes to the fact that he could tell, or someone, they could figure out she was growing. It was obvious she had a baby. And Joseph, it says in the NIV version, he says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He had his plan. He had in mind this is what he was going to do. But the Holy Spirit came and he interrupted him. And I just want to ask for those of you that are here today. I didn't really even talk a lot about this. I'm just trusting that you're going to be led by the Spirit yourself, that, man, the Lord's been speaking to you, maybe like Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if it's a dream or if it's just in your heart, but God has been speaking to you, and it's been pushing. It's been rubbing up against things that you've had in your mind. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. You've thought certain things. You had certain things figured out. Maybe you want to do it this way. Some of you, you're getting ready to do certain things you think in your marriage or in your family. You've kind of start setting things. Maybe even some of you, like Joseph, you even thought, you know what? I'm moving towards divorce. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be doing this thing in my life. It's just that you've been moving. You have it in your mind. Nobody knows it, but the Spirit of God knows it today. And He wants control. You're about ready to take control and take matters in your own hands. And this could be a Christmas that changes everything, not because you go and do what you have in mind to do, or you go and do what you think you could do, but because you stop, you relent, and you just say, okay, you know what? I'll trust you, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? If that's you today, and you don't need to look up at me, but I think you need to respond to the Lord. This is a moment. Joseph could have walked out. Why was he going to divorce her? Was it because he didn't think he was worthy? He couldn't be the father of Jesus? We don't know, but there was something, even though that I'm sure Mary shared with him the miraculous birth, and it doesn't say he didn't believe her, but there's something in him that just couldn't believe it. He had in mind, this was his plans, and the Lord wanted to stop him. And I think for some of you today, you have some things in your mind, and the Lord has been speaking to you. He's been nudging you. You just know it. You couldn't even really prove it, but you just know it. And today you just want to say, you know what, God, I'm going to listen to you. Let it be. Let it be. Let me stop today. Lord, turn around and let it be. Would you just lift your hand to the Lord for a moment? Keep it up for a second. I want to pray for you, but keep it up for a second. Just respond to Him. I don't know who you are. Keep your hands up for a moment. Yeah. Lord, you see these hands all over the room. Lord, we're just like Joseph. We don't know. Lord, we just get these things in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, and we think this is the best way to go. And yet, Lord, I pray you make us sensitive to your Spirit today. You want control, not us, not our emotions, not our fears, as Joseph had. But Lord, that you would be in control. God, I pray you would speak to people that you are reassigning them today by your Spirit. You are reassigning them to something. God, we have to trust you in order to do it, and I thank you for that. You can put your hands down in Jesus' name. One more question for the rest of you. I love this line, just with your eyes closed. It said that before God got here and got to Joseph and changed his mind, it said, Joseph, he said to him, Joseph, do not fear to to take Mary home as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I just felt the Lord say this to me for some of you here today, Christmas Eve, that you've heard this message many, many times. You've heard it before and you know it. But there's something that has always caused you to just have fear to take it home. Just to take it home, to take it and put it in your heart. You've never done that before. You've been to church. Maybe you'd even say you know God, but you know in your heart right now, you've never really taken him home. Never really brought him into your heart. And the Holy Spirit, boy, he wants to change. He wants to change your plans, change your direction. He wants to come home with you today. If that's you, no one's looking around yet, but I just felt that today is the day. Don't miss another day. Do not fear to take home that which is coming from God. It's the greatest thing that you could ever do. It'll be the most wonderful, most joyous thing you'd ever do. Don't let that fear stop you anymore of that relationship with Jesus. Don't look around, but if you're ready to bring Jesus home with you, finally, would you lift your hand and would you also look up at me? I want to pray for you. Yeah. Who would that be this morning? Yeah, I see you right here. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. Who else? Never done that before, but man, you just know the Lord's speaking to you this morning. Anybody else? I'm going to keep looking around. There's a lot of you, and I don't see all of you. Right? Make sure you wave at me if I'm not seeing you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Jesus, thank you that this Christmas is all about inviting your Spirit into our life. Thank you for these that are making decisions for you this morning for the first time, Lord, and even for those that are making recommitments. Lord, may we not, and even maybe some of us that are still, I don't know, and we're like Joseph. There's just things we're afraid of. We're not sure. How can it be? God, even as we go home today, even as we get home, or even tonight, God, may we just open up our hearts to you like Mary did, and even like Joseph ended up doing, and he obeyed. He walked it out, and he fulfilled the plan that you had for him. God, may we do the same thing this morning, same thing today, tomorrow morning. God, let it be. We open up our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.